This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror attack in Michigan. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, June 22nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
An airport cop in Flint, Michigan is hospitalized with neck wounds after being stabbed by a man who yelled, Allah Akbar. The FBI is investigating it as a terrorist attack. A Canadian man is under arrest.
Tropical storm Cindy has turned deadly. Meanwhile, another day of extreme weather is in the forecast for Gulf Coast states.
President Trump says his planned border wall with Mexico might have solar panels. Hear what else he told a crowd in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
And the school subject enjoying a return to prominence, recess.
You know, for years, recess had taken a back seat to the testable subjects like math and reading. And that was around the early 2000s when the No Child Left Behind Act came along and there was more pressure on school districts to focus on academic achievement.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tonelle Hobbs on recess seeing a resurgence. She's here in about 20 minutes. A terrorism investigation is underway in Flint, Michigan, where a police officer was stabbed at the local airport after the attacker pulled out a knife and yelled, Allahu Akbar. The incident happened yesterday morning. The alleged assailant was identified as a 50-year-old Canadian man named Amor Fatui, who authorities say entered the U.S. legally 6 days ago. FBI investigator David Gelios says Mr. Fatui stabbed an airport police officer before being subdued by cops, including the injured officer.
When the subject went up to the officer and stabbed him, he continued to exclaim Allah, and he made a statement something to the effect of, you have killed people in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and we are all going to die.
The injured officer is Lieutenant Jeff Neville, who was stabbed in the neck with a 12-inch knife that had an 8-inch serrated blade. He's in satisfactory condition at a local hospital. Last evening, Quebec police were still investigating in the Montreal apartment complex where Mr. Fatui had been living. President Trump promoted his early record during an enthusiastic rally in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last evening, rejecting a Russia investigation as a witch hunt and saying he was succeeding against all odds. Mr. Trump also added that the shooting last week of Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise in Virginia had fostered a spirit of unity, but he did not sound optimistic about breaking through the partisan divide anytime soon on things like health care legislation.
If we went and got the single greatest health care plan in the history of the world, we would not get one Democrat vote because they're obstructionists. They're obstructionists.
Buoyed by Republican victories in special congressional elections the night before, Mr. Trump said cable news anchors appeared stunned by the Democratic losses. He spoke for more than an hour, touting job gains and an improving stock market. Also said his border wall with Mexico might have solar panels. Today will be the third day in a row of rough weather for Gulf Coast states. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Cindy is being blamed for a death in Fort Morgan, Alabama, where a 10-year-old boy was struck by a log that was washed ashore by a large wave caused by the storm. He'd been vacationing with his family from the St. Louis area. Captain Stephen Arthur is with the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office.
We do get some waves, but nothing to the 12 or 14 foot, not unless there's a storm in the Gulf, and that's obviously what's happening. And we feel like that's what washed this huge log or pole ashore, was the storm debris coming up from the storm surge.
Cindy is expected to keep churning seas and spin off bands of severe weather from East Texas to northwestern Florida. There were numerous reports of water spouts and short-lived tornadoes. In Gulfport, Mississippi, Kathleen Bertucci said about 10 inches of water swamped her business called Top Shop, which sells and installs granite countertops. Says she doesn't have flood insurance because they took her out of the flood zone, even though she's near a bayou. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So few provisions in Obamacare are more hated by Americans than the individual mandate requiring people to buy government-approved insurance or pay a fine. And as Republicans look to revamp the healthcare system, experts disagree about the extent to which the provision did what it was intended to do, and that's get more people to purchase health insurance who otherwise would not. More now from Washington Examiner reporter Kimberly Leonard. Kimberly, set this up.
Well, the individual mandate is the portion of Obamacare that requires people to purchase insurance or pay a fine. And it's extremely unpopular because people don't want to have to pay as much as some of these plans are charging. Others don't realize that they qualify for subsidies that help make plans a lot cheaper for them. So I really look to explore whether it helps get a lot of people onto health insurance plans or not.
All right. So who's saying what here?
Well, essentially, the reason that there is the individual mandate at all is in order to bring in those healthy customers who think that they don't necessarily need health insurance. So young people, very healthy people, you know, the young invincibles that you hear about. And some people say, well, the individual mandate, as in the fine, really wasn't high enough to bring people in who felt that they didn't need health insurance. So essentially, they believe that it should have cost a lot more. Others believe that there are other approaches. The bill being considered by the House right now, by Republicans in the House, or at least what we hear is being talked about, is something called continuous coverage. And what that would do is it would allow insurance companies to charge you 30% more on your premiums for about a year if you fail to have insurance over a certain period of time, about 3 months.
All right. So that is an effort to keep people from dropping insurance, correct? To sort of help provide some cover. Yeah.
Gaming the system. What they want is a mix of healthy and less healthy customers in order to balance out the risk pool. And they also want people to have insurance so that they'll go to the doctor early and have, you know, themselves checked out before something really bad happens and they have an expensive condition later on. And so what they're really trying to do is make sure that everyone is in the system to make everything more affordable.
All right. So explain to, I guess, what's happening in terms of the Congressional Budget Office, or the way this has been marked up by a couple of groups here, in terms of that one group said maybe 4 million people might choose to opt out, right? And then maybe the CBO said something like it could be closer to 14 million.
Right. There's some disagreement over how effective the individual mandate was. So in other words, if Republicans are successful at repealing the individual mandate, how many people would actually drop their health insurance plans because they're not required by law to have them? The one group from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said that 4 million people would drop their plans. The Congressional Budget Office projects that number closer to 14 million. So there's some disagreement there. And it has to do not only with how many people would choose to drop their plans, but in looking at some of these premium increases that might come through repealing the individual mandate, how many people would say, you know, this just isn't affordable for me anymore.
We're speaking with Kimberly Leonard, senior healthcare writer at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called "Did Obamacare's Individual Mandate Work?" Is this one of those questions, too, where the answer depends on who you've asked?
Well, it didn't work as well as some groups would hope. So in general, Americans tend to be pretty law-abiding citizens. And so if you're told by law you have to purchase insurance, yeah, a good number of people will do that. However, when it becomes really financially difficult for them to buy these plans, and that means that they're, you know, we're talking about a middle-income family, for example, is looking at plans that are extremely expensive with really high deductibles, they might opt out and look at other options. They might get short-term health insurance. Some people are joining Christian sharing ministries. Yeah. Some people are going uninsured. And obviously, you're taking huge risks with each of those decisions, but a lot of people don't feel that it's financially attainable for them. Mm. Having said that, most people who buy on the exchange are getting most of their premiums paid for by the federal government. So there really is a mix in terms of where your income ends up and how much you find that it is beneficial for you financially to have insurance or not.
It's Washington Examiner reporter Kimberly Leonard. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Important Gulf Coast states are in for a third day of rough weather as Tropical Storm Cindy sloshes ashore in southwestern Louisiana. Already blamed for one death in Alabama, Cindy is expected to keep churning seas and pummeling the south with rain. This resident of Galveston is all prepared.
We got our supplies, early, and we're all set. We got water and kettles, and we're just, read a book, because the power's going to go out.
The storm's maximum sustained winds have decreased to near 40 miles an hour, with additional weakening expected throughout the day. Meanwhile, the record-setting heat continues out west, with at least four deaths blamed on the extreme temperatures. Phoenix hit 117 degrees yesterday. Today's forecast calls for a high of 113. Democrats on a House committee are pressuring the White House to release a wide array of documents about the security clearances granted to former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and top aide. In a letter, 18 members of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee say they have serious concerns about how the White House is handling classified information and who is being allowed access to such sensitive material. After 52 hours of tense deliberations, a juror told ABC News two holdouts in Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial refused to convict the 79-year-old comedian. The juror, who spoke on condition of anonymity, said 10 of the 12 jurors agreed that Cosby was guilty on the first and third felony counts and that the two holdouts were not moving no matter what. Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley has filed suit against three large pharmaceutical companies, saying their campaign of fraud and deception led to a startling opioid crisis in the state.
They used bogus front organizations and fake research. They used fraudulent advertising and deceptive trade practices. And they repeatedly lied.
Hawley filed suit against Endo Pharmaceuticals, Purdue Pharmaceuticals, and Janssen Pharmaceuticals. Forget the hike. Where's the hammock? According to a new AP poll about summer travel, the number one thing we want to do on vacation is nothing. Almost three-fourths of us say resting and relaxing is very or extremely important to us when we go on vacation, but we're not all that interested in a staycation. 92% of us want to get away.
Yeah. All right. Well, when I go on vacation, I like to, lay out by the pool for a good 10 or 11 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say. You don't sit for any reason.
I cannot sit still. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. I want to talk to the school kids for just a moment. Check this out. Recess is back, and it's getting bigger. School districts throughout the country are taking another look at recess, with some bringing it back or expanding it, citing academic and health benefits. More from Wall Street Journal education writer Tonell Hobbs. Tonell, what's up here?
For years, recess had taken a back seat to the testable subjects like math and reading, and that was around the early 2000s when the No Child Left Behind Act came along and there was more pressure on school districts to focus on academic achievement. So what happened was schools started spending more time on those testable subjects and less time on things like recess that wasn't testable. Well, I've noticed in the last few years, more schools are now reassessing recess, and they're either bringing it back or they're extending it. They're at least looking at it again, even some states, and actually the state of Rhode Island in the last year approved it for all of the schools there. And right now on the Florida governor's desk, there's a bill that would require recess in all the elementary schools, in traditional schools in that state. So it just seems to be more districts are talking about it, and they're citing the health benefits, they're citing academic performance. There are studies that have found that giving children those breaks through the day kind of helps keep them alert, keeps them focused. So it's, and actually tonight the Minneapolis school board will vote on whether to require recess in their elementary school. So it's something to watch.
I thought it was interesting, too, because I think you pointed out in one district they're even just going to do or are doing just 15-minute periods throughout the day, maybe three or four of them.
Right, exactly. And a school district here in Texas, it's called the Little Elm Independent School District, they're actually implementing four 15-minute breaks for a total of 1 hour each day for the elementary kids. And I've noticed that more districts are doing more frequent breaks, 15 minutes, throughout the day. But they're adding the minutes. They are definitely adding the minutes.
Hmm. I can remember in my Catholic grammar school going up, I mean, that was the time when we, especially the boys, I mean, we just went ballistic. You know, it was like, kill the man with the ball. And, you know, we come in with our nice little white button-down shirts were ripped or had grass stains on them. And I don't know, it was just a way to burn off some steam, I think.
You know, and you bring up a great point, because I noticed what the schools are emphasizing is unstructured recess. Basically letting kids be kids. Go play, go get dirty, a skint knee is fine. That's okay. You can skin your knee. I mean, they are really letting the kids, I mean, they're looking at safety, but they are really, it's free play. It is total free play. And I do remember the days we had a morning and an afternoon recess, and we'd go on the monkey bars, the jungle gyms, we'd play tag, we'd just do whatever. And that's what they're getting back to.
Thanks, Tonell. Wall Street Journal education writer Tonell Hobbs. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, June 22. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. FBI investigating a terror incident at a Michigan airport where a cop was injured in a stabbing. Third day of severe weather today in the Gulf, courtesy of Tropical Storm Cindy. Senate Republicans are expected to unveil their health care bill today. A dean at Yale has been fired after she posted a restaurant review that called the customers white trash. A court in Israel says flight attendants cannot ask women to change seats simply because a man does not want to sit next to her. And the NBA draft is tonight. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Where does Uber go from here? Once a darling in Silicon Valley, the ride-sharing company has been beset by a series of missteps and now is leaderless. Joining us now is tech analyst Rob Enderle. Rob, how did Uber go so wrong so quickly?
Well, I think it's the case for a lot of tech companies that come up very quickly. The CEO just isn't very well trained at being a CEO, and the end result is they tend to make an awful lot of mistakes as they come forward. We certainly have seen stumbles from a variety of companies over the years. Even Google didn't start off all that well and had to bring in some expert help to help pull them through. But Uber was particularly problematic. It's just that lack of experience caused them tons of problems. Everything from sexual harassment inside to driver mistreatment to just massive mistakes with regard to public relations and even marketing. So they need help.
Can Uber come back from this, Rob?
Well, any company can come back from almost anything. And so with proper leadership, some experienced leadership, I think Uber can come back. They've got to stop the massive bleeding, though, with regard to revenue and profit. The company has to get into the black. It's way too far in the red to sustain their current operations indefinitely. And turning that part around is probably the highest priority.
What do they need to tackle first here?
The profitability problem, seeing if we can get the company into the black very quickly, because if you're burning cash, you don't have the time to do anything else. After that, certainly finding a way to make the diversity programs actually work as opposed to the Band-Aids that were proposed would be the second on my agenda.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group, the tech advisory firm. We're talking about the future of Uber. What effects could these issues have on, say, Lyft or other ride-sharing services?
Positive on Lyft. Lyft was really a second-tier player against Uber's dominance, but a lot of the riders that have been upset at Uber have been shifting over to using Lyft, and so Lyft has got a rather significant boost. Also, Lyft did things like enabling tipping well before Uber did, and trying to tip an Uber driver has been kind of an uncomfortable experience, which I think tended to push riders over to Lyft as a result.
Will this matter in the next couple of years as we move towards self-driving cars?
Yeah, well, either they're going to go away or they're going to have to transition. You know, one of the problems with both Uber and Lyft is they don't seem to really know who their customer is. For the most part, their customers are the drivers. They're not the people that take the rides. The people that take the rides are the customers of the drivers. Somehow, both companies seem to have missed that. And in the move to self-driving autonomous cars, that move is to eliminate the drivers or, in effect, the customers of those firms, and that could be problematic. Certainly, we've got companies like Ford looking moving in the space, and as we get major players of Apple as well moving in here, we could have some real issues with companies that service the drivers that don't really take into account they're servicing the drivers, and firms that don't have that legacy competing. The Fords and Apples of the world could have significant advantages as a result.
How close are we, by the way, to autonomous cars on the road?
On all roads, probably 2025. That's not too optimistic. The event's going to happen somewhere between 2020 and 2025 as we currently work. The big driver, surprisingly enough, is insurance. Some of the models indicate that autonomous cars will have about one-tenth the cost to insure as a driver car. And once there are a lot of them are on the road, then driver cars with human drivers will probably get a commensurate increase in insurance up to 10 times.
Wow.
That'll probably make it happen pretty quickly, at least in city centers.
Thanks, Rob. It's tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal of the Enderle Group. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into a Friday Eve, as we like to say in these parts. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there are more places for us than ever to watch TV and more different types of shows for us to watch. But what do the TV shows you watch say about your personality? Some research released by a software company, TipTap Labs, and ad agency Mindset Media tries to answer that question using data pulled from social media posts. The data suggests that if you find yourself chuckling on the couch to comedies like Modern Family and The Big Bang Theory, you tend to be an open person with both artistic and intellectual traits. Reality buffs who crave competition shows like The Voice, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, and The Biggest Loser are inclined to be warm and sympathetic. And people who gravitate towards the news-related fodder found in late-night shows like the Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live tend to be go-getters who resort to their televisions once they've completed their work for the day. Now, of course, now my particular sort of demographic here was not mentioned. The two things that I'm watching the most during the summertime, you know, 1 hour dramas, like the kind you see, like, you know, cable dramas and stuff like from the streaming services, and then a lot of baseball and MLB Network. So I don't know, when you combine those two together, I don't know what the personality trait is there. Shut in, you know?
Loser? Was there one that said loser?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. We got to do a little more a little more research here to figure that out, but that's my particular demo.
I might fit into your category. So I do like Modern Family, and I'm new to it. I'll just admit I'm new. But that Ty Burrell to me is just makes me fall off the couch laughing. I also like
you're new to Modern Family.
I
can't let that go. That show's been on for about 10 years
I know.
Now.
I know. I watch the repeats like it sometimes if I have time in the evening.
Ty Burrell's a funny guy.
Alaska State Troopers,
of course. Yes.
Yep. Soccer.
Right.
Saturday mornings, English League.
And you were big at the Criminal Minds for a long time, right? That was, that was your go-to for a while.
I just got away from that, though, because it was too much. It was kind of neat and tidy and predictable, so I got away from that. And then Alone on History Channel. That's about it. I don't know what that says about me.
That probably says something about you, that you're really big into Alone. There's definitely some psychological stuff going on there.
You and I put in the loser category, I think that's what that says.
And, Gordon, you know, we're still months away from college football season, but as you know, college rivalries know no offseason or any boundaries. That's what one Michigan fan found out the hard way when tasked with keeping an eye on his neighbor's house while the neighbor was out of town. Genius Ohio resident Ty Higgins noticed that the yard at the house needed to be cut, so he got creative and used his lawnmower to spell out the script Ohio that the Buckeyes marching band famously forms on the football field. And of course, he filmed it for the world to see, complete with the Ohio State fight song serenading his accomplishment.
Wow.
So here's hoping that before thanking his neighbor for the favor, the Wolverines fan takes a walk outside first. The video, by the way, has been viewed nearly 1.5 million times.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, 1.27 million of those Ohio State fans.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And loving every second of
That's good stuff. I like the creativity.
Yes.
You know, harmless. generally speaking.
Yeah, he did a great job with it too. He's actually kind of just marching along to the music almost. It's he did a real good job of kind of dramatically playing that out.
I'll have to check that out. Good stuff. And now, if I were the Michigan guy,
yeah,
I think I'd remove the blade from the guy's lawnmower as a kind of a return prank.
I mean, look, he's in Ohio. I mean, he's got to know that he's gonna get a little blowback for being a Michigan fan.
Let's
face facts here.
True. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you're with us. Wired.com says in the last decade and a half, thousands of previously protein-loving Americans have developed a dangerous allergy to meat, and they all have one thing in common, the Lone Star tick. Red meat, you might be surprised to know, isn't totally sugar-free. More and more people are learning this the hard way when they suddenly develop a life-threatening allergy to a pesky sugar molecule after a tick bite. Wired says for years, physicians and researchers only reported the allergy in the southeast U.S., but recently it spread to Duluth, Minnesota, Hanover, New Hampshire, and the eastern tip of Long Island, where at least 100 cases have been reported in the last year. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court and Senate leaders are expected today to reveal their own plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, the follow-up to a House version passed last month that President Trump first celebrated but then called mean. At a campaign-style rally in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last night, Trump said he wants the Senate version to have more heart.
I hope, can't guarantee anything, but I hope we're going to surprise you with a really good plan. You know, I've been talking about a plan with heart. I said, add some money to it. A plan with heart. But Obamacare is dead.
The Senate version is expected to base federal insurance subsidies off income, not age, as the House bill calls for, and Medicaid expansion would taper off more slowly. Senate leaders developed the bill in secrecy and expect to vote on it by next week. Tropical storm Cindy is lashing the Gulf Coast with heavy rains as it makes landfall, endangering a swath from Texas to Florida with what the National Hurricane Center describes as potentially life-threatening flash flooding. Yesterday, Steve Arthur of the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office says a 10-year-old boy died when he was hit by a log in a wave.
We don't usually get that kind of normal surf here, so the waterfront is pretty significantly impacted by it.
The storm is now moving inland and will eventually sweep to the east. A Canadian man from Tunisia shouted in Arabic before stabbing a police officer in the neck at a Michigan airport and referenced people being killed overseas during the attack that's now being investigated as an act of terrorism. Authorities say there's no indication at this time that the suspect was involved in a wider plot. The police officer is listed in stable condition. A Homeland Security Department official has told Congress Russian hackers targeted 21 state election systems in the presidential race, and a small number were breached, but there was no evidence any votes were manipulated. Russia has repeatedly denied responsibility for any cyber attacks during the election. Kia tops the list of brands in J.D. Power's latest quality study, with Korean automakers Hyundai and its luxury spinoff Genesis also landing in the top 10. Four Detroit brands make the top 10, but among the Japanese automakers, only Nissan made the list, which is a stunning fall since Toyota and its Lexus brand have led the annual ranking 15 times.
I drove that Genesis one time. I test drove it for like a week.
Okay.
Before they started putting, I think they still don't. They don't put the Hyundai logo on it. It's just its own logo.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
To get people to think differently about the brand. It's a spectacular car. It's 5.5 minutes now in front of the hour. Well, as you know, brothers may beat the hell out of each other on occasion, but they've always got each other's back when the going gets tough, right? A New Jersey family is further proof. When Gila Birgitta learned her 10-year-old son Bennett had cancer, his two older brothers jumped into action. One afternoon after school, the 14-year-old Aiden set up a page on GoFundMe, started raising money for children's cancer research. In 24 hours, they raised $10,000. Word spread on Facebook. In all, they raised $40,000. At a ceremony today at Hackensack University Medical Center, they will present a check. By the way, the best news is this. 10-year-old Bennett finished 4 months of intensive treatment in May. He is currently cancer-free. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.